Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Prepare at last his return, your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll see you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to the Tribulation Farce Podcast, a Left Behind reread podcast. I am your host, Tim Lanning, and joining me is Jennifer Cheek.
Hello, everyone.
This is our finale.
What?
Of Tribulation Force.
Yeah, of the book Tribulation Force.
Of the book Tribulation Force.
Yeah. The last chapter.
Holy shit.
And this chapter is fucking crazy.
Yeah, we are.
There are so many things happen.
I'm barking. I'm on the ground, running around.
Yeah. Tim's like running in a circle around the house.
Yeah. We have our first death.
Yeah, we do have our first death.
I think that
a death, but also a new life.
Yeah, we both. You will never guess who's pregnant. You know, the Lord giveth, and He taketh away.
Yeah. Amanda's pregnant. Wow. JK.
JK. This has been a wild ride. You could tell. Well, maybe you can't because of the weird posting schedule due to GeeklyCon and things like that. But for us, you could tell that it was very exciting for us because whenever we could, we recorded several.
Yes.
So that we could keep reading.
Because I wanted to talk about it.
Right.
Too. So today, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Work's a little quiet right now. So it's like, okay, I'm going to sit down with my coffee. I'm going to read this Left Behind chapter while I have some time. And the second I read it, I was like, I got to talk about this today.
Cough, cough. Speaking of coffee. Love that coffee.
Love that caffeine.
If you're out there, drink some coffee. This week, we're sponsored by the idea.
The concept of coffee.
Concept of
it
coffee.
It tastes good. It makes your stomach hurt.
It makes you feel weird. You can't take some of your meds with it. I think that from here on out, the books are going to rule.
I think so, too, actually.
They're going to whip ass.
At the very least, people are going to be dying a lot.
Yeah.
Which, I love it.
Yeah. So, the first half of this book is like, you know, it still has Left Behind, meaning book one, energy. So it has to build up. But now that we're in the second half where things are getting quite intense, you know, we're past the Buck and Chloe shit, which I bet was probably like 80% of the book, to be honest with you. But still, there's all this stuff in the background. There's the two witnesses. There's, you know, obviously the signing of the peace accord. And obviously in the penultimate chapter, we get a 18-month time jump.
Yeah.
So the first 60% is so easy to forget when the last 40% are, like, nitro fuel.
like literally nuclear.
Yeah. This is kind of boring, but I am enjoying some of the slow pace of figuring this shit out.
Right.
To, oh, my God, shut the fuck up and show me the interesting stuff. To, oh, this is rad. And then it just keeps doubling upon itself.
Right. It's a
trajectory.
Well, what am I talking about when it goes whoop? What's that called?
The curve. The graph.
It's exponential. It's exponential. Guys, you can't see the motion I was making with my hand.
I mean, I guess you could. Whoop.
I was going up.
I think,
up fast.
Yeah, I think listeners know what you're doing.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it felt like they knew they had to kick things into overdrive. They're like, this shit's boring.
They really almost lost me with the double wedding stuff, honestly.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
But then they brought me back in the second half with just pure pandemonium and death everywhere. Intrigue, militias, it's got it all.
So should we just get into it?
Please.
Chapter 19.
Oh my gosh. And also, I think we already said this, this is the last chapter.
Yeah.
There's not a double, this is the end. And actually, can we talk about?
Real heads out there, where's my Team 777? We have an epilogue that Jennifer doesn't.
Tim was talking about an epilogue, I'm like, what is this crazy ass talk about? There's not an epilogue here.
Well, when we get to it, you'll see it, and I hope you're sitting down. We're gonna you know, depending on time, we're going to read the whole thing, which I know is like, why are you reading the entire epilogue? You'll see. It's,
well,
it's depending on time.
If we have time.
If we have time.
So, yeah, at the beginning of this chapter, Buck is going to meet with President, quote-unquote, Fitzhugh in secret. And I put it in scare quotes.
Sure.
Because he's not – he's basically been reduced to a token leader now. Because, like, why do you need the President of the United States when you have the potentate of the globe?
Yeah.
Nikolai Carpathia.
I'm hoping that the mad dash pace of the last, like, three chapters here – it's just them trying to spice it up because I really, well,
they needed to draw us back in.
Yeah. And I know that's going to happen because they're going to, they can't help themselves, but I need to know the bureaucracy. I need to know what's happening because we have an 18-month time jump. And then through this chapter, we have a 2-month time jump, quote unquote.
Yes.
This chapter takes place over about 2 months, give or take. And I'm like, man, we're almost at 2 years since the rapture.
Yeah.
And even though it's hard to get the math, I'm hoping someone says it, right?
And like, as we've discussed before, like, there exist these, like, graphs graphics of, like, the timeline of the tribulation. But I need, like, a calendar of the books and what's happening.
Who cares about that other lame shit? No, I need Kirk Cameron's face.
I mean,
going from, like, smiling to sad to, like, him with, like, a bit, like, punished Bernie Sanders with, like, the eye patch and, like, machine gun. Because, again, I remember, like,
we're heading there.
Speckled things throughout these books, but I remember Buck on the walls of Jerusalem fucking shooting a gun.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Buck yeah.
Buck yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so Buck goes to meet with President Fitzhugh, keeping it on the down low. And number one, Fitzhugh is just like, man, I cannot believe how easily the whole American public was just like, we love Carpathia now. Forget the president. We hate him now.
Yeah.
So he's nothing to me.
So this is just like the reaction to, I guess, the 10 kingdoms have been set up. And there's like someone in charge of, I assume, all of North America.
Yeah, it's like divided out. So basically, the president of the United States is now, like, the only thing he's in charge of is the disarmament plan. And
okay.
Like, I think is what it said in the previous chapter.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't even have, like, real Secret Service anymore. It's just, like, kind of sad.
Yeah, he has
got three guys.
These three global community toadies that he is sure are just on the Nikolai payroll.
I mean, that's what you gotta do.
You gotta do. You gotta
get school. They're protecting you, but obviously they're watching your every move.
Yeah, let me put this Furby in here to record everything you say.
Okay, you were joking, but that literally was a concern, because I was just listening to a podcast about Furbies. Okay. And that was, like, a concern that, like, they could record shit. Like, that was a thing.
I mean, I believe it.
Furbies are very scary.
I don't feel like that's even a truth or thing. That just feels real.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they had a... Never mind. Okay. So, this is what kind of stretched some of the believability for me is, like, why Buck? But again, it's a book. Sometimes it's a book because we're following the most interesting characters, so you have to, like, push past that. Yeah. Sometimes they also do this, where it's like the president is like, hey, Buck, don't go to New York.
But I think this makes sense, though, because Fitzhugh had already talked to Buck before and, like, kind of brought him into his confidence before the signing to be like, I don't know about all this.
Yeah.
So I think it does make, and Buck didn't, like, freak out or, like, you know.
Yeah, you could argue that.
Blow his spot up.
Yeah.
So I think
over the past 18 months to, you know.
Yeah. So I think that actually, I hate to admit it, but it does make sense. The reason that Fitzhugh is called Buck here today is that he has some pretty big news.
Yeah.
Egypt, England, and patriotic militia forces in the U.S. were determined to take action before it was too late.
Ooh, mama.
What does it mean?
What does it mean? I mean, people just love, you know, these freedom lovers can't get on with the global community agenda.
Yeah, these freedom lovers, the classic freedom lovers of America, England, and Egypt working together.
Yeah, again, I have to assume Egypt is in there for prophecy
reasons. Like, it's got to be prophecy reasons. Great Britain, whatever.
It's Britain, America, and Egypt, and I think that's it, but very odd alliance.
Well, it is kind of like, well, like, who do you, like, who do, like, patriotic Americans, like at this time period? And I feel like we're, like, cool with England in the mid-90s. Like, they're our ally or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
So maybe that's why. But Fitzhugh is like, you might want to stay away from all the major East Coast cities.
Uh-oh.
And also, I'm going to be back in office soon.
Hey, man.
Finger guns.
You might want to get your congratulations cards in order.
Because
I'll be there, babe. But I'm like, what is the plan here? And even at the end of it, I'm like, what was the plan here? Other than, unfortunately, God made you do this, and now you have to die.
Well, I think the plan was to kill Carpathia.
Yeah, that's true.
The plan was to assassinate Carpathia. Which,
and then blow up, like, global community
guys,
forces.
Yeah, guys, sorry for the spoiler, but it does not
turns
work.
Out Carpathia does not die in the first 2 years of this little shindig.
But even Buck, like, while Fitzhugh's, like, telling him, and, you know, and theoretically, if you're not Buck, you should be like, oh, hell yeah. Like, these freedom fighters,
let's go.
You know. But Buck's like, I already know this is basically ready for nothing. We're heading into World War III.
It was funny because Buck was like, I wanted to warn him that he's playing right into the Bible's hands, but I knew it was inevitable. But
and like, isn't that part of it?
Yeah.
Like, you gotta just let him go.
You gotta let him go. Yeah. I mean, I still think Buck is gonna keep saying shit like that to be a coward. Buck, you gotta
I can't do anything.
Yeah.
This is all God's plan.
It makes sense not to witness to the Antichrist, but...
Yeah, now that is futile. Like, I don't think that guy's gonna
and
be like, actually, you know what?
You know what? And I'm not saying that it would have worked. I'm just saying it will work sometimes, right? What if...
You might have been to save some people.
Yeah. Or for some reason, your cowardly ways kill more people. Who's to say?
But I also think it's that thing of, I think we're supposed to be like, well, if that had happened, it would have happened in some other way.
Yeah, exactly.
She's about to go down.
And he's, throughout the rest of this chapter until they meet up in Chicago, I'm like, Buck, you're weirdly calm about all this. Why are you not telling anyone about this?
Because he has the peace of the Lord, Tim.
That's true.
He's comforting him.
And they all have, like, signed on full force to be soldiers in the Lord's army.
Yes, they do their pledge to the Christian flag.
Yeah. I'll gladly let a building fall on top of my brain squash me.
For the Lord.
For the Lord. Meaningless death. I'm for that shit.
So things... Just need to say again, this chapter moves along at a quick clip and covers about 2 months. So we're going to, like, keep jumping to what happens next.
And the book... Once, you know, we complain about the POV switches, the brakes, and things like that. This chapter does it all, but it is doing it in a way that makes one stressed.
No, this chapter, totally. Honestly, I will give it up to them on this chapter. They did it well.
Yeah, there are some things that, like, normally we'd probably just, like, put together. You know, like, okay, Rafer does.
I mean, yeah, did do a little
there's
bit
a couple
that
are like just three sentences.
But
like,
I didn't always, because there's some tension in some of these, some of the switches back and forth.
Because we kind of need the timeline of where people are, even though it's kind of confusing.
So we cut forward to Bruce performing the double wedding ceremony.
All right, it's been 2 weeks.
Two weeks forward. They do the double wedding ceremony. They just do it in his office, like, not even in, like, the church, like...
Yeah, they said it was, like, the most private double wedding ever.
And
it was, like, a really funny turn of phrase, I thought.
Wait, don't you need a witness?
I think they're
witnesses. I guess they're each other's witnesses.
Okay. They brought in the two witnesses. Like, hey, you get it?
Eli and Moshe
hey, we're just in town. We're playing.
They turn water into wine just to, like, be funny. Like, oh, you can't drink it, though, because,
they
like...
They probably turn wine into water because they're, like, teetotalers. Christians
exactly.
Even though, like, Tim LaHaye is absolutely eating children. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, after the ceremony...
Allegedly.
He's dead, so...
Allegedly.
Don't come after us, Tim LaHaye's estate.
He's also allegedly dead.
He's allegedly... I mean, maybe he's hiding out.
You never know.
Maybe he's hiding out in a bunker somewhere.
He's in the Anunnaki adrenochrome mines.
Yeah. He's souping up with adrenochrome. after the wedding ceremony, they do the most logical thing that everyone wants to do.
Classic.
Right after they get married, which is do a tour of the bunker.
Hey.
Were you disappointed by the bunker reveal? Because I was.
Especially because last chapter, like, the bunker's huge as fuck. And they get down there, like, it's small.
It's actually not at all.
Tiny.
And it only has enough stuff for, like, a few weeks.
I was hoping...
Like, this is a week.
Yeah, I was hoping that Buck just wasn't up on his bunker lore. But so there's a few things.
I think Bunk knows all about bunkers.
That's true.
Because wasn't he in like kind of a bunker situation when the Russia attack happened?
Sort of, yeah. Close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're let down. But yeah,
it's a little bitch bunker.
Bruce does assure us that, like, I ain't trying to let people in here. You know, this is for me.
Yeah.
This
is for y'all. I told the church to get out and build your own, actually.
Yeah, I'm 10 Cloverfielding Lane this bitch.
Yes. I love that movie.
But they say they have everything you need to survive for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Later in the chapter, they hint at something that will become a bigger deal, which is Amanda's import-export business.
I didn't even pick that up.
That's just a little teaser. They don't even, that's one of those things that when you first read it, you're just like, oh, okay. I'm sure some people out there when they first read it is like, oh, I bet they're going to do this. But really, it's a breadcrumb to like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Once again, I underestimated them. I was just right. Who fucking cares?
It's like, oh, another woman. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. So they basically do a tour of the bunker, and then they're like, okay, we're going to all be so busy for the next 6 weeks. So let's plan. In 6 weeks, let's meet again.
Yeah.
Here and in Chicago.
Yeah. They're like, huddled in the bunker. Bunker huddle. I assume in the bunker because they said they huddled all around. I thought that was funny. To figure out when they are going to be together. And then they end it with a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for what you've given us. P.S. Don't blow me up.
Please
do not start the second horseman?
Well, one of those guys. The red one.
Yeah, because we need plague and famine. So second, first one's just like the beginning, right? Antichrist, I believe. The false boy. Second one's war. Then plague and or death is after that. I forget which.
Yeah, it's the red horse. We'll get into that.
Hell yeah.
So
the final line of the book. So good.
It's pretty sick.
of your book.
Yeah, my book. Not, yeah, since mine didn't have the epilogue. So yeah, they make plans to meet up in 6 weeks. So I guess to kind of remind everyone where everyone is, Bruce is like going all around the globe,
right,
doing his, you know, prophecy preaching and research and setting up house churches and shit.
Buck and Chloe full on live in New York.
They live in New York
Amanda
the penthouse.
And Ray live in New Babylon.
Yeah.
I guess technically we are on the verge of that happening so they don't have to figure out where did they sleep for these 2 weeks.
That's why it's like there's a lot of logistics in it.
Yeah, and of course they are like, they work for the Antichrist.
Yeah, so they gotta go where he goes.
And I assume Chloe at this time just works at the church.
Yeah,
all she does is just read.
She just goes on the internet all day. Honestly, my dream job.
I think this is like, you want to be Chloe so bad.
Chloe has a sick situation. Mm-hmm. She lives in a fucking penthouse and does research on the internet all day.
Yeah.
That I like truly couldn't imagine anything better
than
that.
So cool.
So we are over now on Global Community 1. Oh, sorry. We're not at Global Community 1. We're in New Babylon.
Yeah, Global Community Headquarters.
No, the New Babylon headquarters, and Nikolai really wants to meet Rayford's new wife.
He's just such a cool glad hander.
Yeah, he's got, you know, he's got to kiss babies, mm-hmm. he's got to shake wife hands,
yeah.
And unfortunately, Amanda is understandably pretty stressed being the most evil man in the world.
it must just be so strange coming into this crew a year and a half into the tribulation to be like, I have to meet who?
Like, excuse me?
The guy?
You guys all know the Antichrist?
You all hang out with
I guess Chloe hasn't met the Antichrist.
Yeah,
but
Chloe gets to be in all this shit, and she doesn't have to meet the Antichrist.
Again, ideal. Perfect. Although, she just knows. She's just, like, in the know about everything and not in immediate danger.
I guess that's my only critique, is I would want to meet the Antichrist.
But he's very scary, though.
Yeah, he's the most evil man in the world.
It's the safest thing to observe via the internet.
Absolutely.
Carpathias is a little man. Well, I think he calls her the wrong name. He calls her, like, Alicia or something.
No. He calls her the right name.
Oh, sorry, you're right. And
I just love you guys so much. You're so good. I also have something to show you, too. We also got some good news. And he, like, buzzes Hattie in.
How did he do that in your book? Did he have a remote?
He had a remote.
Okay,
yeah.
He did in mine too, which I did think was pretty sick.
Like, huh?
Yeah, he had a remote control intercom, like on the other side of the room, and he's yeah. like, "Sweetie, come in here, please."
And then Rafer's almost had to, like, ew, I guess oh. I'm not even hiding it anymore. Gross, I'm gonna friggin' puke.
Disgusted. Before anything even gets announced.
Yeah, it was just like he called her sweetheart, and then Hattie walks in and she's like, "Hello, dear," and he's like, "I'm gonna
kill myself." Guess what, guys? Hattie's pregnant.
Yay!
She's pregnant with the Antichrist baby.
Cannot imagine having the spawn of the devil inside of me.
We need to watch The Omen. After this, actually. I might, like, insist that we watch it soon.
Too scary.
Because that's, like, what it's... Although, technically, I think The Omen is about the Antichrist being born, not the child of the Antichrist.
Gotcha.
But...
That's The Omen 2.
Maybe. I don't remember. I think I have seen The Omen 2. I think it was just a different kid. I don't remember.
It's Omened again. You can't keep that Antichrist down. Rafer did what he could not to betray his disgust and loathing.
Yeah, he's like truly like about to barf at the concept of this baby.
And then Amanda, being a real one and a bitch, goes, "Oh, I didn't realize you were married," she said sweetly.
No, dummy. People can have babies without being married.
Idiot.
But obviously she's like doing a dig at.
But
like also, who cares? Like, yeah, we're not married.
Yeah.
You tried, you got me.
Is that where you're going to burn the Antichrist
like,
over?
You're being a real slut, Hattie, by fucking the Antichrist and getting pregnant.
Hattie did call Amanda the wrong name. And I thought that was a sick move.
No, that was a power move.
And
once again, Hattie is the queen.
Yeah.
She rules.
She's the queen of the devil, but also our queen.
Yeah, she's the queen of the damned. She's glowing with the Antichrist pregnancy within her. The little, like, devil tail inside is, like, making her more powerful.
Yeah, she has to just eat coal.
She has to eat really spicy things. Mm-hmm. She's the only one to eat Flamin' Hot Cheetos. Mm-hmm. She gets an ultrasound, and there's like a pitchfork in there, and like a little spiky tail.
Computer just explodes up, all that shit. I think it's funny that we're entering the email portion
of
the books,
because
we have to have good infosec. So now we're kind of going to jump around a few times in the book of things just with email, and that's fine. You know, hey. They don't have text messaging right now, I don't think. We'll do what we'll do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or it was yours, they wrote letters for each other.
No, it was email. It was email in mine. So yeah. And they're emailing back and forth and being like kind of vague about things, because they don't know
who's snooping
on their emails.
Yeah, they are government employees and top level government employees for the Antichrist. So they absolutely are most likely snooping in on them. But I think it's really weird how often when they write their emails of like, "What do you mean, A sins or love, yada yada yada."
Yeah, like that sounds so shitty.
It looks like you're up to no good.
Exactly. Chloe finds out via email that Hattie is pregnant with an Antichrist baby, and they're like all crying about it.
They're like, oh my god,
we failed her. I'm like, you guys like witnessed her like multiple times.
Yeah.
This one is not on you.
I think Buck literally says that, or one of them says it. It's like, I feel so bad, but also, what more could we have done?
Yeah.
But the gist here is they are gonna figure out how to witness again. To Hattie.
Yeah.
And my memory is that Hattie eventually realizes it, but it's too late. And that's shit. So that is like a really fun dread barrel to stare down, in my opinion.
Yeah. Specifically, Buck says to Chloe, "What are you going to do, Chloe? Tell her she's carrying the Antichrist child and she ought to leave him?
Get an abortion? Are Christians allowed to get abortions if they have the Antichrist child?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Out of wedlock, by the way.
Yeah, I think that you've got to give birth to it and then you have to put him up for adoption.
Yes.
You know?
Put him on a raft, give him the old Moses treatment, see what happens.
Happened in The Omen. And I think that are kind of like someone's like,
I don't know. That also feels like it's part of the lore, because if you don't love and cherish the Antichrist baby, then it's just going to turn into the Antichrist baby.
It's a self fulfilling prophecy of Antichrist.
Yeah.
So what if you treated the Antichrist with love.
Think about that, gang.
Think about that.
I do like that Hattie does say, but in the other part, that they're going to get married soon, and he's going to make an honest woman out of her yet. And
yes.
I thought that was good. And I'm like, I don't know if they're going to get married. I feel like Carpathia is going to do some weird shit, and I'm excited for it.
What's her title going to be? Like, potentate consort?
Jesus Christ. Like, yeah, hopefully.
Like, potentatia?
Potentatus.
yeah. So, meanwhile, Rayford is very surprised at how fancy New Babylon is now.
Yeah.
Remember, it's only been, like, a year and a half.
Yeah.
Since they're like, we're building a new city.
Yeah.
And they friggin' did it.
We're just like, over to the left of Baghdad, we're just gonna build the city.
Yeah. Yeah, Rayford thinks to himself, a lavish world capital had sprung up out of the ruins. Rayford's homeland seemed headed for obsolescence.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, the U.S.
Oh, no, they put a textile mill in the middle of the desert.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also wishing they would have talked more about that goddamn desert flower formula.
Yeah, they haven't even brought that up. They haven't brought up rain.
Boo.
At all.
Boo. But again, I think there's so much. Portion out your food correctly.
Yeah.
And this is like the last bite of your Lucky Charms being all marshmallows.
Mm,
and
the best way.
Yeah. Okay. And what Jennifer and I are saying is we want some more sweet, sweet non-marshmallows to pad it out. You know, the boring bureaucracy. Give it to me now.
Yeah, remember how we were like complaining about the bureaucracy, and now that we've got too much stuff, we're also complaining about that.
I don't think I ever complained about the bureaucracy. I'm a huge fan of it.
Did you complain about the romance?
Yes.
Yeah, that part was bad.
That part was bad. We do agree.
Yeah, that part of the chapter was to be saved for the girls. Now we're back to the stuff for the boys.
Yeah.
You know, death and destruction. Death,
guns, bombs.
Yeah, exactly. So while Rayford and Amanda are in New Babylon, Rayford is also keeping up his email correspondence with Bruce because he needs insight from him.
Yeah.
On how to understand the fifth and seventh sealed judgments. He doesn't quite understand what's up with those.
And this feels weird to me because, like, you live in the tribulation for about 2 years now. I mean, less than that. But let's just say 2 years, round up a little bit. And you guys haven't gone through every single one of these motherfuckers
in intense detail. I think you should probably go through them in order. Like, figure them out in order because that's, like, how they're going
to
happen.
And, like, plan to bunker around. Like, you guys should be in the bunker for the next 4 months because you don't know when it's going to happen. In fact, I think you're way behind because of 18 months and, you know, you're 2 months past it. Fools.
But Tim, they have to work for the Antichrist. They can't just stay in the bunker.
That is true. That's a great point.
Buck and Chloe, as we said before, are living in Buck's fancy Fifth Avenue penthouse, and Chloe's doing her internet research, living the life that I dream about every day. But Buck is praying about whether to tell Chloe about his conversation with President Fitzhugh, which I thought was kind of crazy.
It's crazy. He doesn't tell us.
You're not
going to
tell your wife?
Right. You don't tell. He doesn't tell anybody.
Tim, if I found out that you had talked to the president of the United States and it held back from me this sweet drama, right. I would be so mad at you.
Yeah, like me pointing at January 6th, I knew that was going to happen.
I'm like, what?
What? Yeah, it's like, yeah, here's what my text message from Trump.
there's going to be a beautiful incident.
We're going to blow up the whole East Coast. It'll be great. Going to be the biggest bombs. I was baffled by this as well. Like, why would he? This feels like a useless quandary, Buck. Why are you not telling people?
It feels like weirdly anti-Christian. Like, but maybe it is like actually Christian. Cause I'm like,
I don't know.
You're kind of lying by omission to your wife.
Well,
but maybe cause our little lady brain, he has to be the man. He has to be the protector and protect Chloe from this forbidden knowledge.
It's so.
Even though she's a researcher and it would probably be helpful for her to know.
Yeah. And she doesn't have a job.
She sees worse things on the internet every day. Come on, Buck.
There's no Christians anymore. The internet is fucked.
It's horrible.
the vibe that, like, he has to hide it is so selfish because he's like, well, I'm willing to die for the Lord. But I'm like, you should at least tell because, like, you guys are the main characters. You need to survive as long as possible to save more people, right?
And, like, I don't understand, like, what benefit this brings to Chloe to not know this. It's not like learning this information is going to suddenly
put that war is happening any day now. So why would you not, like, is the implication that she's scared and wouldn't want to fly to Chicago?
Yeah, she's going to be hysterical.
Or, like, shouldn't the answer be, like, oh, we're visiting family in Chicago and just stay in Chicago for, like, the next month so that they don't have to deal with the possibility of New York getting blown up?
Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't understand it. Because I don't think
they were trying to portray.
He doesn't say it later after the shit starts.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, exactly.
He's like this weaving, like, I knew this. You killed Bruce! You killed Bruce!
I don't know if that's quite true.
That's, you're right. I got emotional.
Tim was lashing out.
I was lashing out.
Because he's dead. And I guess you did just say who died. Guys, spoiler alert. Bruce is fucking dead. He's dead.
I thought it was an emotional way to say it.
You know, it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
But between Chloe and Bruce doing research, Rayford does get more information on the significance of the fifth and seventh seal judgments.
Yes.
Number one, unfortunately, the fifth seal judgment is the martyrdom of tribulation.
I think it's just a big bummer. You know, the fifth one's boring because, well, it's not boring, actually.
It's not boring. It's like the new Christians are gonna die.
Yes. So that is like when it's very bad to be a Christian, as opposed to right now where people just kind of make fun of you, right? And they think that you're annoying. Oh, wait. Am I talking about the book or real life?
But the thing is, they still don't really know what's going on with the seventh seal.
And my assumption is mystery. That no one does. And I want to Google it. And I don't remember what happens. I need to see the chart.
Yeah.
I need to see a chart that doesn't reference what Left Behind does. So that I don't get, spoiled is the wrong word.
Cross-contaminated. Yeah.
Because again, it's like how I approach Naruto. I don't want to learn new spoilers, but I'm fine with all the ones that I already know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all that shit. For this, it's kind of fun knowing it's where certain things go as like a handhold, but I want to be shocked when the seventh happened. Because the seventh is just, they do something and everyone in heaven is like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Literally, there's silence in heaven for half an hour when they open the seventh seal. So what? Yeah. Like, it's got to be something really wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to remember, like, that's why I need to see all of them. Cause like, do I remember this one or do I remember a different one? And like, whatever. So in some of the seals and the jars and the whatever.
Yeah, is this a bowl? Is this a seal? Or just a trumpet? Like,
are cop outs. And that's why they went up from 4 to 7 because like one of the seals is just opening the bowls. I believe.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Sure. I was like, this is bullshit.
This is bullshit. It's like, hey, final seal full of bowls. And then we're like, what?
What?
What's the first bowl? Oh, you'll get to it.
So moral of the story is shit's about to really go down. Like shit has already been like going down, but it's about to get bad.
And like we said at the top of the episode, we have cut through now in the book the boring stuff.
Yeah.
We have entered spooky hell time where every 6 months something horrible is going to happen. Because we have, okay, let's just do the math real quick. We have, as of right now, we have 3 horsemen. We have 7 bowls, 7 trumpets.
I think so. I think there's 7.
I think it's 7. And, there might be 8. And, I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's like friggin' 19-ish, give or take, what you consider, meaning like bowl 4 is actually trumpet 7 type shit like that. So we have like at least 15 to 17 new fucked up shits that need to happen.
Individual fucked up things that need to happen.
But again, some of them are just like the peace treaty and the stuff like that.
It's like just like a sign.
A sign, almost. Yeah.
But now, but we're getting more into the like, these things are signs. These are actions that are taking place.
Right. This is the meteor. This is the blood. This is the freaking scorpion men.
The scorpion men.
So fucking cool.
God, I cannot fucking wait for them to come up. I'm ready.
That was me, 14 years old, being like, I can't wait for this to happen. In the real world.
So I see these scorpion men in front of my face, which I will be able to see because I'm a Christian. Except for you won't be there.
Yeah.
You'll be in heaven.
I'll be in heaven watching down. Be like, damn, that's fucked.
Do you think there was anyone that read Left Behind that's like, I'm gonna wait and get saved so that I can be around for the tribulation because it sounds sick.
Yeah, I think everyone did.
Wow. Not very successful books.
Even though the books are like constantly like, well, we're big dumbass idiots for not being Christians.
The book is absolutely meant to be like, you don't want this to happen to you, right? You better get saved.
Anyways, here's the coolest shit ever.
yeah.
Even though it's like, it's clearly you don't want to be in this world, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's bad. You know, it's like a video game. It's like, oh, that sounds so cool. It's like, bro, They get shot constantly, yeah, and they just heal by leaning on a wall. Like, it's not realistic. Come on.
Yeah, I think that Tim LaHaye and Jeremy Jenkins don't really understand the mind of the sicko, because they are targeting these books towards normal people.
Right.
They'll be like, that sounds bad. I don't want to experience that. Not those of us that are like, Scorpion Men? Hell yeah, let's do it. Meanwhile, Rayford is flying Global Community 1. Amanda is on board, hanging out in his, like, fucking bedroom.
Yeah.
It's like on this plane. But just like, okay, like, she can't just hide in the bedroom the whole time. She's gotta socialize.
It's a grueling nonstop flight from Baghdad to New York or Chicago.
I was like, that's not even like that bad.
I have no idea how long they'll take.
I don't think it's not as bad as like coming from like Australia or something.
Mm.
I don't think.
Mm.
But I don't know. It's a long flight. It is a long, but she's got a bedroom. I don't hear shit, Amanda.
Yeah, like, shut up.
You have a bed you can land. That's
shut up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Who cares? It's only bad to be on an airplane because you're stuck in a tiny seat and it sucks.
Yeah.
But if you have a bed, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, shut up.
Anyway, Amanda's hanging out on the plane and...
But she does have to hang out with the Antichrist's crew because it is such a long flight that like she can't just turtle in there or else it'd be
rude.
She
should be like, I'm sick. I don't want to hang out.
Cough. I have the plague that's coming up soon.
Yeah, she should pretend to be pregnant.
Mm-hmm. I'm pregnant too.
You're like, ma'am, you have gray hair. I'm like, yeah.
Like I said, I'm pregnant. Fuck off.
But while she's kind of hanging out around all the people on Global Community 1, she notices that something appears to be going down.
Mm.
Because people keep going up to Carpathia and bringing him printouts. And then they have secret whispered meetings and heated meetings.
Quite heated.
So something's going down.
Something's going down here.
Yeah.
Most likely it's them getting reports of insurrection-based information.
Yes.
And by the time they land, they have to figure out what to do about it. And the timeline here, I've read this chapter twice, because after recorded last episode, I was like, I did it again, baby. Let's read it. This time, not tipsy and not that late for me. I read the final two chapters for me. And I was like, let's go. But I was like, this is really confusing. Now, it's just as confusing the second time, but this time I know that it's supposed to be. Or, again...
Like, we're not supposed to understand what's going on.
Right. And
exactly.
I'm
yet.
Reiterating again, so much happens in this chapter that, like, it's such a marshmallow Lucky Charm situation that I get why it feels so frenetic.
Yeah.
And hard to discern, because my assumption is they're going to get deeper into what actually happens here in the next book.
We'll find out what was going on behind the scenes.
They're getting all this information, which we find out is based off Fitzhugh's information before and all that stuff. But the characters don't know it yet. So,
right.
And if they would have shared information, maybe they would have something to do. But then again, they are technically doing everything correctly. They're going to Chicago.
Well, and there's also a little bit of like, well, you don't want to tell the people that are near Nikolai things.
Right.
So that they don't have that burden of like trying to keep that secret around him,
right.
I guess.
Right.
Still,
which I get why he didn't tell Rayford.
Yes, I agree. That's what I was about to say. Like, that makes sense for them. It doesn't make sense for Chloe.
I also don't think he's seen Rayford since getting this information. Maybe? I don't remember.
They can email, but that's like feels way too dated.
You should not
that's
email.
Way too dated.
Don't
email
that
about,
ever.
Even in code words.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, again, keeping track of where everyone is. Rayford is flying the plane. They're on their way to New York. Buck and Chloe, meanwhile, have arrived.
Yeah, they've gotten the day before. So, the timeline basically is this is...
We're now 6 weeks.
6 weeks later.
Post-wedding.
The day before they're supposed to get together. And hang out. Now their schedules have aligned. At some point during the travel, all this stuff is starting to happen. And, you know, I don't know. Again, we don't know how long the plane ride is, but the assumption is it's like the day before, right? And this things are happening to Chloe and Buck as well at the same time while they're up in the airplane.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Buck and Chloe, they get back in Chicago. They're preparing for their Tribulation Force rendezvous. They're like, let's plan a little lunch before we have our marathon Bible study session that we were planning on.
Yeah.
But they haven't heard anything back from Bruce yet. Bruce has been on a trip to Australia and Indonesia. And he got back.
Yeah.
But they haven't heard from him.
He's supposed to be back, but no word. And they're like, hey, friggin', we're going to do lunch. Come to this really snooty sounding
name. Yeah, they emailed him this, and he hasn't gotten back to
right. Him. So Chloe's like, that's so weird. And then Buck's like, he's planning on surprising us. Like, how are you sure? Like, oh, I'm 100% sure it's going to be a surprise. And then Chloe's like, well, I was surprised. And he's like, you fucking bitch, I love you.
You got me to come here, you.
Anyways, my phone's ringing. This is probably Bruce.
It's probably Bruce.
And the chat was like, it wasn't.
Yeah, that ruled. That was good. That was a good cut.
Oh, yeah, because you know, we're just after... some shit's going. We know we're in the final chapter. The previous person is looking at Carpathia being like, what the fuck is happening? And now Fitzhugh or someone's calling and we don't know who it is.
It's President Fitzhugh, which Buck only knows because he recognizes his voice.
Yeah.
And he's basically like, call me back at this number. Also on a payphone. Goodbye.
Bye.
Now we're back on Global Community One, guys, for drama purposes.
Yes.
And Carpathia wants to meet with Rayford. There's a little bit of a back and forth because he's like, oh, I'm about to land a plane. And it's like, well, can you come in at this time? They like do like a weird negotiation of like, well. Yeah.
Carpathia wants to talk to them right now, but Rayford's like, we're about to land the
plane. Literally landing the plane.
He's like, okay, well, after that. It's like, well, I have to do post-flight checklist. He's like, all right, well, after that, but before you do the next thing. And he's like, all right, you're just breaking procedure all over the place.
Fine. Who gives a fuck?
Who gives a fuck?
Who cares about procedure?
Buck opens an airplane window, throws the book out.
Did you say Buck?
What did I say?
I think he said Buck.
Fuck, I think about Buck so much.
you got Buck on the brain.
Rayford was bucking tradition by not doing the procedure.
That is true. By listening to his boss,
he also says Antichrist. Procedural protocol. I'm like,
isn't that like the same thing?
Yeah, ish. Yeah.
So the big news that Carpathia. Has to tell Rayford.
Uh-oh. Our intelligence has discovered an insurrection plot, and we are being forced to circulate false itineraries for me in the United States, Carpathia says.
Oh, shit.
So things are going down. They are either night of, morning of, day, whatever, zero, of meeting and having lunch, and they know shit's going down. So they're going to do some counterintelligence type shit and lie. About where Carpathia is. And I thought this was kind of cool because Rayford's like, well, I guess I'm going to friggin' kiss my vacation away. And Carpathia's like, no, opposite. They assume I'm going to be in DC for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the plan. But now we're going to spread some false narratives and things like that. So how about this? Because are they landing in New York?
I think New York first.
Yeah, they're landing in New York. And then they're going to... He asks, since he knows that Ray is going to Chicago, he's like, take the Global Community One to Chicago and then give the plane to someone you trust. I don't give a fuck. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Whatever. And then, fly it back.
Fly it back to New York or Washington. I forget which.
I think New York. And you see the little light bulb go off in Rayford's head like, I know just who to call.
Yeah, and I thought that was cute.
He calls his old boss, Earl Halliday.
This is one of the quick little interstitials that is like, you can see like three section breaks on one page.
Yeah, like reading all of it at the same time. Like,
yeah, okay. But I think it was, it deserves to be in this part. And I think it's very cute. And because this is just a quick, it doesn't add to the pacing.
It's more just like, hey, I know who that is.
Yeah.
So Buck calls Fitzhugh back on the payphone and they have a very cryptic conversation.
Yes. I understand why it's so cryptic, but it is very much like, I guess he's just trying to make sure he's fine. Like, our one buddy, who used to work at the Lincoln Missile Labs or whatever it's called.
MIT Lincoln Labs.
Yeah. I was like, okay, so everything goes bad. Tell me. He's like, okay, I will take the long elevator up. I will run the mile away from the facility.
Yeah.
Hop the fence so that my cell phone will finally start working and I'll call you instead of my family. I was like, it's that simple. It's that simple.
That's all we're asking for you to do.
All I'm simply asking. He doesn't work there anymore, so. I guess I won't know when nuclear winter happens.
Yeah, I guess we'll just get exploded.
And not go to my basement.
Yeah, basically Fitzhugh does a little bit of like, Mom, where are you right now? It's like, oh good, you're not at home.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
So maybe if he was at home, he'd be like, fuck, get out. Get out.
Yeah, but he's just like, oh, okay, cool, you're in Chicago.
It's like, don't go to New York. It's like, but I live there. It's like, don't go back.
Yeah.
It's not safe. Like, okay.
But then right after this, they start to try to check in on what is going on with Bruce. I can't remember if they call or they get the call from.
I don't remember.
Regardless.
Because they like try to call several times. It doesn't work. And then this is like the next morning.
Yeah.
Really upset we didn't find out what they ate last night.
Oh my gosh, I know.
And the reason why it's somewhat confusing is because immediately the secretary at New Hope Church is like, yeah, we're worried about him. It's like, wait, why? Because we're worried about him. It's like, yeah, he picked up a bug in Indonesia, went to the hospital real fast. He was actually planning on meeting you secretly and surprising you for lunch. And Buck, like, does it.
I knew I was right.
I'm so fucking, I bucked that. But Bruce has fallen into a coma.
And I was like, oh, shit.
I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. A super bug. I want to know what's going on with this. Because let's just say this thread gets dropped here, but yeah. I'm very curious.
My lore is that this is definitely a post-COVID thinking, is Bruce gets patient zeroed of the plague.
That's kind of what I'm worried about. Yeah but I bet he's going to be the super spreader.
But that is just as likely as anything else, right? Because these books are crazy. But it's also very likely that this is what's the version of a dog whistle where it's like, oh, it's like a reference, right? An Easter egg.
Yeah,
for missionaries getting sick. In which, you know,
an allusion to that.
Like, of they have to, like, okay, pastor, whatever, had to get 95,000 shots to go teach in Papua New Guinea for 3 weeks. Yeah. And yet he still came back with like super malaria.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of took it as initially, but now reading it, I'm like, yeah, is it? But my assumption is the plague is going to be really ugly, and this isn't that ugly.
Well, and because I think maybe it's too early. And
yeah.
Whatever happens.
It's definitely too early, but as we've said before, we don't know how many things are, right? Like, is the famine based off of the war and plague? Is the plague based off the war? Well, there's only no rain in Israel.
But still.
It was the number one exporter of food, even though it's the size of New Jersey.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think the book is that smart to treat it as like a systemic issue, because it has to be magic. It has to be God doing it.
This is God plague.
Yeah, exactly. Like how
everyone's gonna get boils.
probably.
I probably really, really boil. I think frogs.
Yeah, I think
boils.
They do a lot of the friggin' Egypt plagues.
So, that's true. Locusts.
Like, the water, blood, shit like that. So. That is the guidebook, is the Egypt stuff. So, that's the reason why I thought it was not the horseman plagues.
Yeah.
It wasn't sexy enough.
But I'm curious if it's going to get picked up again in the next book. Like, if this is a little, like, foreshadowing
definitely.
Of plague to come.
Yeah, like, other people are like, oh, it just started off as, like, knocking people out, but now they're getting... Or maybe if Bruce survived longer, he'd get gross shit.
Well, because that's the thing, too. Like, maybe this is also just, like, a red herring in a way. To be like, oh, you think this is what's wrong? But that's not what's going to be wrong.
I also don't want to give them the credit either, because I think this is just – they Googled military base – I meant to Google that. Military base Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And then looked around it and then put it there.
Yeah, sure. So, the Tribulation Force, now that they know that Bruce is in the hospital, they are like, okay, we gotta go see him and see what's going on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rayford has now landed in Chicago, and he picks up Buck and Chloe from the hotel they're staying with. And there's like this like nice little, very brief moment where Rayford's like, it's nice to have a family of four again. Yeah, I have a new wife now and a new son, but right. It still is, you know, it's pretty nice.
I do like that in one of the emails, Bruce is like, I'm so happy for you guys. I am, even, remember before? I'm way more lonely.
I'm even more lonely now.
Even more lonely. I'm so sad.
So Buck and Chloe are sitting in the back seat. They're on their way to the hospital.
I am so thankful that it was Buck and Chloe in the back seat and not Amanda and Chloe.
Okay, I even thought about that too. Like I feel like that very well could have happened.
Yeah, but there's
it
also
is pretty beta of Buck to be sitting in the back.
Yeah, but that's a weird thing with like Christians and stuff like that. Right wing mask men is like there's the bit of woman don't drive.
Yeah,
but there's also the bit of I got my lady up front.
Yeah, I got my lady up front, and like I need to be sitting beside my lady.
I'm sitting beside my lady.
Like I man sit up front.
So like in this
fighting against must keep my lady at my side.
Right. So it makes the most sense in this configuration. But the other configuration also makes the most sense.
Yeah.
We love the multifaceted nature of our society.
Yeah. The women have to sacrifice so their hubbies could sit up front and not get car sick.
They have no choice. That's for sure.
So while Buck sits in the back seat, he, this part was so weird too.
The rest of the book is weird as hell.
Buck is like, man.
The other stuff was normal, I thought.
Yeah, everything was up to this point was normal. Buck is like, man, I love my new family, unlike my old family
who
sucks.
Dude, I forgot about that because why did he not invite his family to the wedding?
He doesn't fucking care about that.
He doesn't have enough time, but like.
He's like, I'm over it, you
this
guys.
This is why they're so bad at writing, and because they don't understand emotions or humans. So the Buck sucks, you know? We forget that because he's been acting. The character's been acting better.
I think that we famously had an episode entitled Buck Sucks.
So it makes sense, but I don't that he wouldn't invite his family or think about his family or like his close-minded family or whatever he fucking said. But I'm like, bro, we're not on your side here, although the book wants you to be, and I bet most people were.
Like, why are you so upset about Hattie and you don't give a fuck about your family?
Because they're not important to the plot.
Like, he, like, truly doesn't. He's like, you're old news. It's the fucking meme of the kid from Toy Story tossing out, like, I don't like this anymore. Yeah. Throw it away. Like,
it's like,
I don't care about
I'm
you.
A big newsman, and I had to leave my backwater mud town, and you guys don't get it.
Welcome, meet my 20-year-old wife.
Yeah. Don't give my wife a beer. She's not old enough.
She's underage. While they're driving on their way to the hospital, everything's going smooth until it's not. Upon traffic, which, traffic.
Man. I love that it was Rayford being like, we were making such a good time. Yeah, and that was traffic.
That was a very dad thing to say. But it becomes clear that this is not just like normal traffic. But like traffic, it seems like it's like basically at a standstill and global community peacekeepers are directing.
Yeah. Traffic. There's like old cops and global community peacekeepers being like, move along.
Yeah. And they're like, hey, what the fuck is going on? And, turns out some shit's been happening in Chicago as well.
And on the planet. And this is so fucking baffling to me, but I guess this is because it doesn't make any sense. Take the, divide me, information by not having Twitter, cell phone, iPhones.
And if you're not actively listening to the radio.
Right. That makes
sense.
Watching
the news.
But what we find out has happened. And the extent to which it is happening is insane.
Yes.
So, apparently, the militia had taken over an old Nike base.
No, what do they mean by that?
I just Googled it.
Okay.
And why I zoned out for a second because, like, whoa, okay, this makes more sense.
Okay, please explain because I was like, is this a Nike warehouse
right.
for shoes?
Yeah.
What are they saying?
All of the military shoes are there. Nike missile site C-47 is a former missile site near Portage, Indiana. The Nike defense system was a Cold War era missile system in the United States. Nike missiles were radar guided supersonic anti-craft missiles.
I thought you said Antichrist missiles for a second.
The planners hoped that Nike would make a direct attack on the U.S. so costly as to be futile. So these are like the retaliation missiles that we have.
Okay.
And I was, you know, this is 14 seconds of Google research. I guess there are these in Chicago.
Okay.
So
that's really honest. I just like literally didn't know what it meant.
I just thought it was like a standard military base named Nike for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was a missile base, an old missile silo, is like a lot bigger deal. And it's a lot bigger deal why later, when they eventually find out what happened, they're like, there's no nuclear issue, no radiation issues.
Yeah, yeah.
So that like part of Chicago has blown up.
I think it's like a suburb, like an outer part.
Yeah. And, you know, like, the guy saying, like, our boys wiped them out is, like, we later find out this is a retaliation for something else.
Yes.
It's both retaliation and, preemptive.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of silly, but now knowing that they are nukes.
Yeah.
This makes a lot more sense.
Like Tim said, the militia had taken over this old base, and they were storing all their contraband weapons there, and... After the attack that has apparently happened on Washington, D.C., this base also got wiped out.
Yeah, so we find out through a series of screaming men who they keep talking to.
Yeah, as they're like inching along
as they're inching the highway. Every 30 feet, another guy makes fun of them for not knowing what's going on until finally they get the vibe of like, okay, we blew up the Nike base out of retaliation. Because they attacked Washington, like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then they learn that Washington, D.C. is in complete ruins, because they get the radio finally to pick something up. All the other stations, it's not just them being boomers, it's just like...
It's the emergency broadcast, like,
finally they get somewhere that is, like, having a human talk. It's like, yeah, insurrection forces launched an attack on D.C., and I don't know how... It happened, but the DC is destroyed.
DC is destroyed.
Completely in ruins.
And I guess this is too where they did think that Carpathia was supposed to be in DC at a hotel there.
And like they kind of put together that a lot of this shit happened was because they were trying to assassinate Carpathia.
Yes.
Carpathia is supposed to be in Washington, so they attack Washington. I do think it's a little weird that the guy trying to take over becoming the president again is so violent towards Washington. But we don't technically know how any of this shit happened, because was it them making a few blunderous strikes and then the global community retaliating in kind?
Right, and being like, look at what they did, but they actually made it worse.
Exactly.
Or Satan.
Exactly.
Causing it like, I made the bombs extra strong. Yeah.
And since this is the second Horseman, they don't have a choice in it, so people have to die.
Yeah, it's time.
Even though at this point, you know, in a fanciful 2003 or 2008, depending on which book you have, we have the technology to not do this. Even though we did it all the fucking time in Iraq and Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. I did kind of see my America-centric brain going. It's like, why would there be so much fallout? That's crazy. It's like, bro, come on.
I mean,
that's like, you like, just imagine, do you think the cities in like Afghanistan and Baghdad, like, are that different? Like,
no, yeah.
They did the classic thing too later of blaming the insurrectionists of hiding weapons.
Yeah, I thought about that too. I'm like, this is before. This is written before the whole weapons of mass destruction thing. And they already had
it's
that.
Pretty crazy.
Geared up to go.
Which, again, is your alarm should be going off, because the whole thing of like blaming the terrorists for hiding weapons in residential areas. So it's actually their fault that we blew up an entire block in Kabul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, crazy. And this is like 1997.
Very interesting.
Interesting. I mean, I'm sure, like, that's come up.
I'm sure it's happened in other times. I don't think it was the first time it happened.
Right. It's just really weird hearing it verbatim.
Like, before 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
So briefly, like, they're learning via the radio, like, where has been blown up, and they're like, we don't actually know the status of Carpathia right now at this point.
Because did he die in one of these attacks?
Because they don't know where he is.
Right. And, you know, friggin' Rayford is freaking out because obviously the war, you know, the badness is starting, but he sent the plane back with what's his nuts.
And he's like, oh shit.
Oh fuck.
Did I send my former boss to his death?
Yeah.
It is kind of like sad. It's like, damn, I tried to do something nice for him and I might have got him killed.
Yeah. And, we also find out that from, Fitzhugh's and Carpathia's, which I thought was interesting, because Fitzhugh said that it was him, the UK and Egypt were getting together. And then Carpathia was like, we're pretty sure it's America, their militia, the UK, and someone else. We're not sure who. And they imply that basically the big attack on DC was everybody. Like, it was.
But they came together.
Right. It was chunks of Egypt and it was chunks of the UK, of course.
Yeah.
The US. So, that leads to those two places getting hot. They do say that Egypt launched ground forces from Egypt towards Iraq in order to siege New Babylon and take it down. So that makes sense that there was a huge battle apparently in the desert and that shit's all blown up.
Yeah.
But we also find out that there's like shit about to happen in the UK.
Yes.
And all this is happening.
Yes.
Like they're getting all this information again at first from just, you know, random global community gun boys.
Yeah.
Hollering oorah as we blew up, you know, part of your town over there.
Yeah.
And we, at this point, we don't know how big the deal of the blow up is. I mean, they do eventually switch over.
We just know it's enough that to stop traffic.
Yeah.
The one in Chicago right now.
And then the radio is like, okay, here's what actually happened. Oops. We needed to blow up that Nike base. And we killed thousands of people.
Well, because let's pause or back up for a second, because we do quickly find out Carpathia is alive. And he gives an address via radio, which is where he explains some of this, and where he's like, yeah, that's our bad for killing the civilians, but like you were talking about, Tim, like, but really, you think about it, it's their fault. It's the militia's fault.
Don't put those deaths on us, right?
Yeah. But, like, great news, everyone. The global community peacekeeping forces have already crushed the resistance. So
yay.
And, you know. Carpathia is like, I pledge immediate judgment upon all enemies of peace.
Yeah, it's like, I love peace a little bit more than anything, but I feel like I have to protect you guys, right?
Yeah, I'm doing this for you.
I'm gonna glass anyone that goes against us. And they set off a nuke over Heathrow.
They set a nuke off! Well, I think right before that, they say that anti-global community militia forces have threatened a nuclear war on New York City, and specifically on Kennedy Airport.
Right. And they do a lot of airports, which is weird.
Kind of makes
sense,
though.
When you say it makes sense for Carpathia, it's weird when the global community people are doing it back, even though they do say the reason why they dropped the 100 megaton
bomb.
Yeah, which the one on Hiroshima was 15, which I thought was wild.
This is a really big bomb then.
Yeah, all right. I was saying 15 kilotons. I don't know. What's the difference between kilo and a mega?
I think it's way bigger.
Whoa. So this is a big bomb?
This is a really big bomb,
holy
I think.
Fuck.
Yeah, I think this is a really big nuclear bomb.
They're like, oops, they were going to launch nukes at us. So all this is like, this makes a lot of sense, I think, in a post-Cold War world, right?
Yeah.
Which is much closer to where these books were written than where we are now. Weirdly, I don't think we vibe. We're not that afraid of nuclear winter the way that
people were before. Yeah, I do feel like in the 90s that was still, like, we were just kind of coming off of the Cold War. But now, people, I don't know. I don't feel the stress of it.
Right.
As much,
I just think it's eventually going to happen on accident and then oops. But
maybe maybe we've just absorbed it and it's like, well, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Like eventually. Like, what can I do about it?
Right. So maybe that's a little bit why. And, you know, I guess if this is a major, if World War III probably would work something like this of like, we have to knock out their retaliation, which is something that like is so weird to me that we have set up supposedly, like, the ability that even if we get wiped out, like, once we have enough nukes that if we find out that another country has launched their arsenal,
we can just launch ours.
We launch back.
Yeah.
And to me, that is so stupid.
Mutually assured destruction.
Mutually assured destruction is so dumb. Like, I know you have to technically have it, but the fact that we'd actually, you don't have to have it, by the way. But the fact that we'd actually do it is so insane to me because, like, okay, what's a world that's better where no one's alive or that Russian runs things? Like, come on.
Well, this is where I start to get into the, like, bro, war doesn't make any sense, man. We're just, like, killing each other because we can't get along?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like, if, I don't know, Switzerland is like, we're going to nuke you, America, if you don't surrender. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll learn Italian, French, and German.
Yeah,
let's go,
baby. Why not?
Let's not do this. This is stupid.
Yeah. So again, to step back and clarify, we find out that a huge fucking nuclear bomb has been dropped on Heathrow Airport because they found out that nearby there are Egyptian and British fighter bombers that were reportedly nuclear equipped and on their way, and they were going to be on their way to Baghdad and New Babylon to explode it.
But they stopped them.
They exploded the entire Heathrow Airport and irradiated all of London for miles around. Success. So as they're finding out this information, the Tribulation Force, which is the four crew, the two couples, they make it as close to the hospital as they can. At this point, they're going to have to go on foot to make it to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. So I always do kind of forget the mega kilo. So mega is bigger. We didn't know that, but I didn't realize it was that much bigger.
I think it's like an order of magnitude.
Yeah, like a kiloton is like 1,000 tons versus a megaton is 1,000,000 tons.
Oh fuck! Okay, that's like way even.
So 15,000 versus 100,000,000.
Okay, they said they said something about this being like being irradiated for a few miles. I'm like, that might take out like the whole fucking
There's
island.
There's also a fear that bombs this big will fuck up our orbit.
Fuck up our orbit, like, probably cause, like, tectonic issues, yes. Like...
Or what if it does, and it's not God that does the earthquakes and shit.
It's the bomb fallout.
It's the big one. It's the 100 megaton bomb over Heathrow. Where's Heathrow?
Heathrow's, like, a little outside of London, I think.
Yeah, but that must be, like, so huge.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that...
Yeah, exactly.
They're adding, like, it would just be a few miles. I'm like, I think that might, like, obliterate the whole island.
Yeah, well, Great Britain. Damn.
Or at least, like, the southern half of it,
If you live in Reading, Luton, friggin'...
You're fucked.
Chelmsford, Southend.
Okay, now you're saying in, like, Boston and Chelmsford.
Chelmsford. Oh, and London. That's the big place they didn't say. London's right there. Yeah.
Yeah, London. And then Heathrow is, like... one of London's airports.
Goodbye, London.
Goodbye. Did they even have, I was going to say goodbye to the big wheel, but I don't know if they had that yet. The London Eye? I don't think they had it.
Oh, really?
Just like they didn't have the
That's why
the
they bean. Didn't bomb it,
Just
right?
like they didn't have the bean in Chicago at this point. I don't know if they had the
they're
London Eye.
They're great protectors.
Yeah. I don't think they had the Gherkin either. Man.
Got it. This fuck.
I wish that the Gherkin got irradiated. It'd be so cool. Yeah, so like I said, they get as close as they can, and they kind of do a quick, like, well, we can't all go, and somebody's got to stay with these wives. Right. They can't be left all alone.
Yeah, because this hospital is, like, really close to where that base was.
Well, that's because, like, they end up talking to them, and they're just like, it's, like, across the street.
Yeah, so like, it's across the street and down the road. People think it might have got hit first.
Yeah.
So my assumption is that they just lost, like, fighter jets just bombed the fuck out of this area of Chicago. And not looking good, which I'm kind of surprised they didn't hear it.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Don't know the science on that one.
Yeah.
But they, Rayford and Buck kind of do both, like, I want to go. No, I want to go. And Rayford's like, no, I'm going. I have the most clearance or something.
Because we need, and it does make sense. It's not just, like, two apes fighting. It is literally, they're the ones that have the clearance.
Yeah,
they're,
like, reasoning out, like, okay, what makes most sense.
So just in case something happens to me, we need to keep... Clearance boys separated. Yeah. You stay back with the wives.
Yeah, as much as I hate to give it to them, it does make sense.
Yeah.
So Rayford, like, walks through, like, the woods or something. I don't know.
At first it's like, oh, you have to go through that field. And then it's like, no, he climbed through, like, weeds and mud. I'm like, oh, okay.
And, yeah, he kind of comes up on the hospital, and first he stopped, and then he shows off his credentials, and they're like, oh, okay, sir.
Yeah.
You got a second level clearance.
But, like, when he, like, crests over, he sees that, like, the hospital is just, like, wiped out.
Fucked.
Like, part of the structure is still standing, but, like, the entire right side is gone or something like that.
Yeah, it's not good. Rayford sees it and his heart sinks immediately. He makes his way over to the makeshift outdoor morgue, which we love, and finds... I couldn't tell if this person was an EMT, a nurse, like, some sort of medical professional.
Yeah, she was a... husky.
Yeah, they made sure to tell. I don't know what her job was, but they did let us know that she was chunky.
She was chunky.
Yeah. And yeah, he's basically like, "Can you help me find my friend? He was in the ICU." And she's like, "Ooh."
Yeah. She starts off a little cantankerous. Like, either help get the fuck out of my way.
Which, fair enough.
Fair enough.
Like, that's how you got to do these situations. Yeah. It's an emergency.
And she eventually is nice when Ray is like, "Can you find my buddy, man?"
And she's like, "Well, the ICU was pretty much vaporized, but let me check my list here."
I like that they were, she's like, "Well, there's only been three people alive that we found, and that was because they're outside smoking, but..."
Smoking saves lives.
So, finally. But we hear voices from inside. It was like, "Oh,
my God."
But they're like, "I don't think we're going to get to them. They're going to suffocate or get crushed."
It made me think of 9/11 also.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Man, 9/11 was an inside job. Tim LaHaye did it. Allegedly.
Tim LaHaye did it.
Where was Tim LaHaye on 9/11?
Yeah, where was he? Convenient that he's dead now.
I can't answer for his crimes.
He's in a bunker somewhere, hiding out. So, yeah, the medical professional is like, "Okay, I will go and check the bodies over here that I know are from the ICU."
And I couldn't help but have Ray give all his lines here, like Roman from the funeral scene in Succession, of like pointing. He's like, "Is Bruce in there?
Is he in there?
Can we get him out?" But I do want to give props to Ray showing emotions.
Yeah, he did.
Because later, Buck doesn't. She's like, "Hey, what do you want?" "Okay, probably not likely, but if he was here, he'd be over there," and points the body bags. And Ray's like, "Well, can you look for me?" She kind of like, "Yeah, I'll do that for you."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Wow, this is one nice fat woman." At the fourth body, Miss Devlin began to lift the sheet. When she hesitated and checked the still intact wristband, she looked back at Rayford, and he knew. The tears began to roll.
He gets her, he's like, "Can you just, like, double check his pulse?" That's very Roman Rowe. And she does it. She does do it. But the way that she responds is she checks it, covers him back up, and walks away. Like,
it felt like there was a piece missing there of where she, like, let out a sigh. But the fact that the book says, checks it, stops, covers, walks away.
She's you know, she's matter of fact, to the point. Like, she doesn't need to say anything.
And I think that, like,
the message delivered.
It's so final that, of course, you know. It's like, man, there's no way this guy's... you're lucky. She even says that, like, "I wouldn't have shown you if he was one of those other people under these bags."
Yeah, she's like, "Okay, he looks okay. He doesn't look fucked up like everyone else." And and Rayford, like, reaches out to try to, like, close his eyes, and she's like, no, I can't let you do that, which I don't really know. Maybe because he's full of disease.
There we go. Yeah, so she uses her gloves to close his eyes.
Yeah, she closes his eyes.
Okay, you've got me on disease pill now. So.
I'm just saying, why would they bring it up? Like, because otherwise, I don't know, just... Which I guess...
I guess it's also protocol. Don't let randoms touch dead bodies.
I mean, it does feel kind of weird because it's like, he's dead, though. Like, also, there was a fucking explosion here.
Yeah,
like,
they know. Well, at this point, I believe they found out that there's no radiation in Chicago.
Yes. But yeah, maybe it's because he's full of a bug.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Rayford walks. He walks back to the car and he thinks about, like, damn, it's just us four now in the Tribulation Force. We don't have a teacher. Our teacher and mentor is gone.
Weird ass fifth wheel, no longer around.
Yep.
I guess that's why I didn't remember what Bruce got up to, is because he gets vaporized.
He's dead.
They killed Bruce, gang.
They fucking killed him.
This is not.
I really thought he was going to be like, and like coughing. It was going to be like a thing of like, oh, like this was a miracle from God that like brought him back.
And the fact that he's like,
or that Rayford was going to save him or something.
Yeah, Rayford was going to pray over him, do a miracle. The fact that he just dies off screen and they just show up, I think is like a really good choice.
I agree. It is a good choice. I truly did not expect it.
No, not at all.
No, I thought there was going to be something else that happened. It's just like, no, he's fucking dead, man.
He's dead as fuck.
And as Rayford is walking back to the car, the book says, Washington had been obliterated. Heathrow was gone. There had been death in the Egyptian desert and in the skies over London. New York was on alert.
Oh, fuck.
Cutting out to Buck and the wives in the car. And the second that Buck sees Rayford heading back to the car and the way his body, like his posture is, he knows.
Yeah.
And everyone starts crying.
Yeah. Well, the women start crying.
Oh, did Buck not cry too?
I don't think he cried.
Oh.
So
wow, stoic.
He's not in touch with his emotions.
I think I just like assumed they were all crying.
I bet he cried. Maybe he did cry, but he points out that they cried and
yeah,
shit like that.
And Tim, can you please read the very last sentence of the chapter, the book?
Of your book.
Of my book.
Of the numbered chapters. The red horse of the apocalypse was on the rampage.
Woo! Yeah, baby! Red horse.
Hell yeah, rampage. Yeah. You know, was Nikolai correct? Did they stop this insurrection? Will there be any more fallout?
Oh my god.
What's the deal with New York?
Yes, you're gonna get exploded? Are they gonna drop a bomb on the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, as of right now.
And the World Trade Centers, which are still there.
Oh shit.
Oh my god, I really hope they talk about something happening to them, like,
well,
in the next book.
If they do, it'll be in your book and not mine.
Ooh, that's true.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, it's a different building.
Chrysler.
Yeah. I think that's in Chicago.
Fuck.
But actually, Tim.
Yeah. So my version has an epilogue. So
it's very important.
Let me read it for you. And as my Kindle's booting up, you know, if you need to get a drink or something like that, or make sure you're sitting down as I read
the entire epilogue.
The entire epilogue. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Matthew 24:4-8. And that's the epilogue.
Woo!
A little weird.
People love to use that as a like, see, we're living in the end times now because yeah, there's wars and rumors of wars. Like, bro, that's called the entirety of history.
Yeah, I feel like that is extremely cherry-picked of being like, hey, early church, you're going to have this litany of bad things happen to you. And these bad things have happened. But
yeah, like, again, it's kind of like how, like, you know, people are like, wow, like, my horoscope is so, like,
right,
accurate. And it's like, well, this is, like, pretty generic.
Yeah,
so.
And I think if you took the state for which the New Testament was written, the vibes of it make a lot more sense since it was not written while Jesus was alive.
Right.
Argument to be made, it wasn't written while his followers were even alive.
Yes.
But definitely not compiled until much later.
Yes.
But, like, the fact that everyone was going through so much like persecution.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that like some Paul's stuff was like, you know, close enough, like, oh, we have these letters. But,
yeah.
But that, we should probably do a bonus episode on like how the Bible's actually made, and we've talked about it before, but none of the people whose names are on the books wrote it. It's most likely just their followers.
But, right, exactly. But this is like apocalyptic literature though,
right,
of like crazy shit's happening, but you guys can have hope because you're in the special group. And you're going to be able to make it out.
Right.
You might be persecuted, but in the end, you'll, you know, make it through.
Right. And, you know, some friends were talking like, hey, do you think we're in the apocalypse? I'm like, yes, we're obviously in the apocalypse, but, like, not the big one.
We've always been in the
apocalypse. We've always been in the apocalypse.
We've always been going towards the apocalypse.
Anytime that, like, things are dark and you get solace from apocalyptic literature or being doomer, congrats, you're in the apocalypse.
You're in the apocalypse, yeah.
We probably shouldn't say it's all the time, but...
But it's cyclical. It just comes up. Like, this is just history.
Yeah.
Right? And as I talked about in our dispensationalism episode, like, this is a consistent thing throughout time, which is that when crazy shit happens, people get apocalyptic.
Yeah.
So this is just like a natural cycle.
Right, right, right.
Except for in the book, The Left Behind series, because it's like, no, this is the real
apocalypse. That is the A apocalypse.
This is the real apocalypse
yes,
now.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, big A apocalypse.
That's it. That's the end of the book.
We finished it. Book two.
Down the fucking toilet.
Down the drain.
I think all the books pull a Harry Potter and just get bigger, I believe.
I think they do, yeah.
But our characters are going to start spreading out. Chloe didn't get her own chapters, but I'm hoping she eventually
maybe
does.
Maybe the next book.
Maybe she never does. I don't know. But they need to start doing something. Because, you know, we need more points of view.
Because we do, otherwise it's just going to be like, Buck got an email.
Yeah.
About a thing.
It's going to be Chloe's chapter through the eyes of Buck reading a letter.
Yeah. The next book is Nikolai. So I need to acquire that one. I don't have that one. So I got to go find it from a used bookstore somewhere.
Yeah. I gotta do friggin' Kindle again.
Oh my god.
I need to torrent it instead of...
You should just torrent it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, man, so many things to look forward to in the next book.
Yes. Yeah. Because I don't even know... Wait, what's book four? Do you have your book in front of you?
Book four?
Yeah, which one is book four? Which one's Indwelling?
Book three is Nikolai. Book four is Soul Harvest.
Ooh.
Indwelling is much later.
Gotcha.
So it's Nikolai, Soul Harvest, Apollyon, very sick name. Sick. Assassins, also very cool. Then the Indwelling. And then the Mark.
Hell yeah.
And as of this book, that's all that's in there. Which is funny.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So that's all they made it up to by the time this book came out.
That's fun.
Yeah. So they weren't all out when this was published. Because this version came out in 1996. Yes, 1996.
Interesting. Well, we'll do our little break in between books, mm-hmm. but probably won't be as long as the last one since we want to get back into it.
Yeah, I'm chomping at the bit, but we do have some stuff coming up, so it might be a little bit.
Yeah, we got a vacation. Oh, yeah, I say that now, but I'm looking down the barrel of a very busy 2 months.
Yes, we'll see. We'll definitely record some stuff. I'm sure we'll do some side episodes. We'll keep going with on our Patreon with our Leftovers rewatch.
Yeah, maybe some of the stuff we would have done for just Patreon we'll do on the main feed as well. You know, so there's stuff there. We should do another Jennifer's journal journey.
Yeah, it's time. I've been looking at that one again recently. Yeah. So it's time for us to dive back into the journal.
Definitely some guests I want to chat with and all that good stuff. But what else should we say here?
I don't know. I am excited to read the next one, though. I'll just say that.
Yeah. It's like, all right, our break was 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's like, I know we're traveling, but like, I gotta record.
I gotta read,
what's up.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to know how many listeners have started reading the books.
Yeah, I'm curious. If you have started reading them because of this, let us know.
Let us know. And at this point, this is the part where I'm like, all right, it is actually getting good. You know what I'm saying?
It's entertaining.
It's entertaining.
Is it good?
Good. Good is subjective.
Yeah.
And I don't mean good in any objective or maybe
moral sense.
Yeah, exactly. It is entertaining. Very much so. And it's written to turn the fuck fast.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to get back into it as the night it just gets crazier and crazier. But you can follow us on Twitter. At TribForestPod. We don't tweet a lot. Same with Instagram, TribForestPod. Or you can shoot us emails if you have any thoughts or responses or reactions or what have you or anything that you have expertise in that mm-hmm. we might not. We always appreciate those.
Yeah.
We read them even if we do not mention them. Follow us ourselves on Twitter. I am at Tim Lanning. You're at Jennifer Cheek. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to pay attention to what sort of projects we got going on, especially during the mid-season breaks, I guess you're saying. Any other things you would like to plug, Jennifer?
Listen to our other podcast, Greetings Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
It's a D&D podcast.
Mm-hmm.
A little different than this.
Mm-hmm.
And then also to Dear Internet. Yet another podcast we do, I go dig around on Reddit and find horrible things to talk about.
I do a Naruto podcast. Check that out. It's called Naruto Reviewto. We go through Naruto and we read it. It's also very good. I also do a Thursday stream on Geekly Inc. Twitch, twitch.tv/Geekly Inc. Every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern, we play a home world, homebrew little world of boats and islands and shit like that. Super fun.
Tell them the name of your character.
My character's name is Tempest Tallahassee.
Every Thursday afternoon, Tim comes and borrows my big sun hat mm-hmm. to wear while he streams.
Yeah, Tempest is a Florida man douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
And
we love him.
We love him so much. It's so much fun. Throw it on your second monitor or your main monitor if you're in England.
Which I hope did not just get exploded by
sorry for all the nuclear explosions bomb. In England there.
Blame that one on the Antichrist.
Blame that one on the insurrectionists.
That's right, on the insurrection. Can we also just say, talking about insurrectionists in this too, was like, that's interesting in the year 2023.
It's crazy that less than 30 years went by and we're complete flip.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Well, like a thief in the night, we are gone.
Goodbye.
Sorry,
I
wanted to Google if Chloe ever got
don't look at that.
POV chapters, and the title is the one of the things is from our fan fiction.
And that's all. Yeah.
And it was like, I want the POV, but from a different character. Like, hey, give me that.
Oh man, that's just like that fucking Twilight book. That's like, this one's from Edward's point of view. Midnight that. Sun.
Yes.
Can we get the Midnight Sun on the Left Behind?
I want Midnight Sun of Nikolai so bad.
Oh, I want it so bad.
What does he think? How does he internalize all this shit?
What's going on in that Antichrist brain of his now?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.